This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios, all the way from Australia, it's Ben Abraham. Hello, sir. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
New record is called Sirens, out on Secretly Canadian. BenAbraham.com.au. You need a little extra to get there.
Yes, because Australia is annoying like that.
You are from what part of Australia?
Melbourne.
And what is that city like for an artist?
Well, in Australia, I think it's the best place to be as an artist because it's really vibrant. It's very...
Would you have said the same thing if you had been from Perth or...
No, Sydney? I would not have. Well, no? Perth is good if you're crazy and you're slash a comedian. Perth is full of like really oddball, unusual. Tame Impala's from Perth, you know what I'm saying? Whereas like Sydney's unfortunate. Sydney's like council have like shut down all the venues like after 1 a.m. So there's like these lockout laws that have like killed the music scene. Whereas Melbourne's like the most kind of kind to its... to its local music indie scene. So, I stand by my comment. I feel like Melbourne's the best place as an artist. Although, if anyone listening is from other places, I apologize.
Well, this is considered your debut record, but you have been making music for a while.
Yeah.
Right? Quite a few years.
Yeah.
Going back earlier than that, though, you had a short-lived career as a screenwriter.
Yeah, well, an attempted career as a screenwriter, I'd like to think. I studied screenwriting. I always wanted to be a filmmaker, director, before I wanted to be a musician. And yeah, I studied screenwriting with the intention of getting into direction and did it for, I ended up studying for 5 years.
Do you still want to do that?
Yes, yeah. At some point.
Just a matter of time
now. I hope
now.
So. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I get further and further away from it, I suppose, every time I write another song. But yeah, I like to think that it'll come back around at some point. And the good thing about screenwriting is, you know, if I was 40 or 50, I'd be very happy if I was making my first film at that age. Whereas music does feel a bit more pressing to me. It's something that I need to do now, so...
If I understand correctly, you were making music more as a hobby or something to entertain yourself, and you had a short time gig playing music for troubled kids at a hospital, right?
Yeah, kids. Yeah, well, actually, technically, I still work there, although I haven't been there for months. But I work for a children's charity in Melbourne, and we hang out with kids in hospital. We have a room that they come and spend time with. Or we also go out in the wards and spend time with them. And the whole point of it is distraction therapy. So it's kind of like Patch Adams, I suppose. Mm. But it's different in that we don't engage with the hospital environment or their illness at all. So for us, it's called the Captain Starlight Program. And the point of it is a complete escape from the hospital environment. So we all like dress up as space aliens. And it's very highly intelligent.
What was the name of the program?
The Captain Starlight Program. And it's with a charity that is actually over here as well called the Starlight Children's Foundation. So on that job, I picked up a guitar, and going out in the wards, they encourage you to use whatever skills you have to connect with kids. And I could play Backstreet Boys on the guitar, so I thought, I'll do that. It sort of transitioned me out of screenwriting and into making music.
Now, during that gig, were you doing covers or were you doing your own music?
I started off by covers. You know, it was like, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands, or In the Jungle, the Mighty Jungle. What ended up happening was I ended up writing a song with a girl who's a 13-year-old anorexia patient, and showed it to my bosses, and they loved it and flew me around the country at all these fundraisers to sing it. And that was pretty much the ground zero moment for me, where I realized that screenwriting was always going to be difficult, and I would always wrestle that and, you know, go through the self-doubt and stuff, whereas music was something that I was like, oh, I think I can do this, and people's reactions seemed to be really supportive. And so, yeah, it was sort of the beginning of the end of my days as a filmmaker. Mm.
Has that song stayed in your repertoire?
I mean, because I've been playing for so long in Melbourne, my Melbourne crowd know that song very well, so I usually pull it out at Melbourne gigs. Probably mainly to just as a, I guess, a surprise at the end. But I haven't done it for a while. I mean, it was written by, I was 21 at the time and she was 13, so it sounds like a song written by a 21-year-old and a 13-year-old. So yeah, it might seem a little odd if I played it at a gig now, but every now and then I do it just for fun.
Ben Abraham is my guest today, live on Jefferson Public Radio. And he's here with the trio. Who have you brought in with you today?
I have brought in my new best friends, Matt and Pete, who I just found on the streets. I was just walking around. Yeah.
What do you guys want to do first?
We're going to play a song for you called You and Me. And it's the lead single. And we have never played it in this setup. So what could possibly go wrong?
Everything.
Perfect.
You and I were meant to be together. traveling the highways of my mind. What is love that changes like the weather? Now you're gone, how can I survive? Years have passed and still I can remember, holding back each breath while you respond. From those days in April through November, still it's hard to breathe, but now you're gone. You belong to you and me. That was how it was supposed to. How can I stop loving you when my heart keeps on telling me to? Now there's nothing for me but to wonder, sit alone and wrestle with the score, peeling back this spell you've placed me under. Lonely, never felt like this before. You belong to you and me. That was how it was supposed to. How can I stop loving you when my heart keeps on telling me to? And you belong to you and me. That was how it was supposed to be. And love has changed now that I know. It's a lifetime of letting go. I let you go.
That is Ben Abraham live today on Jefferson Public Radio. A tune from the new record called Sirens, out on Secretly Canadian. BenAbraham.com.au is the web address. Okay, we're referring to this as a new record.
Yeah.
But this actually came out in Australia back in 2014.
It did.
Right? And
yes.
It had about a 7-year gestation to get to that point. Yes. So this is not a new record
well
for
researched.
You.
This is good. Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, you know, because I suppose I didn't start out intending to have a music career. I started out playing music for friends and for people, and it happened kind of very organically, truly. So because of that, it's not like I had these goals of like, I want to record an EP one day, I want to record an album, I want to release it, I want to get on radio. I never really had any of those checklist things. And then it got to the point where logistically I just had to kind of do something with these songs, and by that time I did want to record. So, you know, when we started, me and some friends of mine in Melbourne, when we decided that we were going to record, we had like 40 songs from the first 7 years to choose from. And it became about shortlisting those songs. And I realized that the emerging narrative that I thought was really interesting was finding the songs that told that story of me as a writer from the earliest days when I had never really been, I wasn't writing songs at all, through to the end when I was writing more recent stuff. And that's pretty much what you get. In fact, the track listing on the record is pretty much chronological. Mm. So that the first few songs are the earliest ones and then the last few are the latest ones. And I think that that's kind of interesting because you sort of see this progression, you know, of me as a writer through those years. But Yeah, it meant that by the time the record's out, even now to like play them, it's funny to play songs that are very old. These songs have sat with me for a long time. It is like going back through a journal and looking at, you know, my worldview as a 21-year-old, as a 25-year-old, as a 27-year-old. Mm.
It's an interesting approach because if you talk to a lot of folks that produce records, you stack the deck at the front of the record in terms of sequencing it.
That's
with
right.
The strongest, newest, freshest yes. material that theoretically is better than earlier material as you've grown as a songwriter and all of that.
Yeah, I think, right? Well, I think that's very much like, that's about the audience, right? It's about mm-hmm. this assumption that an audience is only going to last a certain amount of songs, that they're going to skip tracks and that, you know, like you want to put the best stuff at the front.
And it's about a record. Which
yes.
is not exactly the way everybody consumes music these
That's
days.
That's right. And look, I was lucky in that because I spent so long in Melbourne and playing with and building a network, I had a pretty strong following. So I never had this feeling like I needed to play by those rules. I was able to just, I knew that whatever I made and put out, my audience, who was my whole world at that time, I had never thought that I'd get in a tour bus around America. So at that time, that was they were the people I made the record for, and I knew that they would listen to whatever I'd put out, so I was able to kind of have the freedom to tell the story that I wanted to tell. And I'm glad that I did it because I realized that moving forward, I think I'm always going to do that. Mm. You know,
you said you had a pretty good following in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Right? When this record came out, it went to number one on the Aussie alternative charts and iTunes. But Melbourne's like a sixth the population of the entire country, right? So you had to kind of...
Of Australia? No.
Yeah.
Well, it's about 50%.
Is it really that much?
Oh, well, no, I'm sorry. It must be about 25% because they say like 50% of the population of Australia live between Melbourne and Sydney.
Okay.
And then Melbourne is just about half that.
So you had to know that with the following you had in Melbourne that this was going to do well.
No. Well, I don't know. I don't even know what do well means, right? Like I knew that I was going to...
Number one usually means that it's doing okay.
I didn't know that it was going to go to number one, but I knew that with time, I believed in the work enough and I had seen people's reactions and responses to it enough that my business model was always, if it works for 10 people out of 30 in a room, then that number surely scales. That 10 people must exist in some percentage around the world. So I sort of felt like I was giving my life over to do this, but I knew that I'd make my money back eventually. Mm. So yeah, I guess it definitely exceeded my expectations, but also I was like, sweet, those people are actually out there. And I've obviously found them. So
now you grew up in a household of music, right?
Yeah.
Your parents were pop stars?
Yeah.
Where?
In Indonesia. So my mom's Aussie and my dad's Indonesian, but they both lived over there for a while. And they have a folk sort of pop music career.
Now, if there had been an Indonesian iTunes chart back then, would they have been
well,
at number
apparently
one?
Apparently they're on some kind of like Indonesian Rolling Stone Hall of Fame or something. I don't know. They're a little cagey about it. They never really talk. It wasn't a huge part of my upbringing knowing that part of their lives.
Really?
So, yeah.
Were they done with it by the time that you
very
had awareness?
Done with it. Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were done with it by the time they moved to Australia, which was like 1980 or something. Hmm. So most connection I have with it is like photo albums with articles and stuff. But Indonesia's so corrupt. It's not like there's like these well-archived... You know, it's not like there's this footage and stuff of their days over there, even though all of that stuff did exist at some point. But, you know, the Indonesian music industry is like a bit of a mess.
Do you have recordings?
Yeah, we've got some recordings of their stuff. And one of their songs that they were known for is, people don't know that it was their song, but it's like a standard song in Indonesia now. So if you could, I sort of test it whenever I travel. It happened once in LA where a lady who runs an Indonesian restaurant, I said, have you ever heard this song? And she had, she knew the song. She didn't know my parents, but... Yeah, they were kind of, they'd written this song that's like a well-known Indonesian folk pop song.
That's so cool. Ben Abraham is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. His new record is called Sirens, that one on Secretly Canadian. You can find more at benabraham.com.au. All right, will you play us another?
Sure. This next song's called Speak.
I didn't hear you enter, but I know you have been circling my room. I listen for your footsteps, close my eyes and wait for you to move. you're hiding like a memory, teasing like a girl I used to know, tumbling, gambling, calling to the weakness in my soul. You're telling me to speak. And in one reckless moment, you move a little too close to my ear. I grab a hold with both hands and scramble to make sense of what I hear. I try to tie you down with synonyms and sad piano sounds. For a moment you surrender, one moment we both stand on the same ground. And I begin to speak. And all at once you pull away, but I'm lost within your atmosphere. As you found me, I panic as you try to disappear. I reach out with my fingers and try to pull the letters back in line, but your words spin out of order and the pounding in my chest is out of time. But I just wanna speak. Oh, 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 oh,
forget screenwriting. That is Ben Abraham live today on Jefferson Public Radio. Music from a new record called Sirens, out on Secretly Canadian. BenAbraham.com.au is the web address. All right, if you do any searching for you on YouTube, you find songs that are considerably different than the songs we have just heard.
Yeah.
They are upbeat and very, very poppy.
They're happy.
Right?
Yeah.
Go on. And I read online that you had a short-lived misstep in the direction of a pop music career. What was it that you were attempting to do or being pushed to do?
This is too well researched. I think, when I first started, one of my first instruments was a ukulele, and I started playing on the ukulele, and...
Were you playing on the street or just out?
No, well, because it started with the kids, right?
Okay.
So, like, I was playing in the hospital. That's how I learned. And I used to just steal. And when I started playing gigs, I would steal one of the hospital ukuleles and take it and play. And, when I first started, I just had this whole vein of music that, like, I enjoy upbeat kind of ukulele music. And so, yeah, it was funny. Like, it was definitely this kind of fork in the road moment where I nearly... recorded like an EP in those early days, and it would have all been like straight up, up-tempo, bouncy ukulele jams, which is funny because they always existed at the same time. Like the opening song on my record, Time, is also one of the first songs I'd ever written, in fact predating some of the uke stuff. So it's funny, there was always going to be this weird, like, and my gigs used to be like that. They were all over the place. Like, I'd have the super mellow stuff, and then I'd have, you know. But yeah, so that stuff just, I guess I grew out of it. And, you know, I mean, I still play the ukulele. I still do sometimes pull out those tunes, certainly in Australia where people know them a little bit more. But yeah, that's funny. That's a good question.
And then you went fanboy on Sarah Bareilles.
I did. So, I mean, I've known of her music since, like, I reckon 2007, 2008 would have been, like, MySpace days.
And yeah, she grew up about 4 hours from here.
Over on the
Northern California coast. Yeah, Eureka, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I remember finding her through when I used to work at Starbucks. They used to have this playlist that had Greg Laswell on it, and I remember falling in love with his music and then looking at all of his top friends, and it was all like Carey Brothers and Josh Radin and Sarah Bareilles, and I remember her voice just flooring me. Like, so rarely do you find voices that are that pure and that thick in that level of like pop music, I suppose. So yeah, I fell in love with her voice, and it just kind of followed her career from then. And then when I found out I assume what you're referring to is this particular moment where I found out she was touring through Australia with Maroon 5. And as far as I knew, it was the first time she'd come out. And I just had this idea that I wanted to work with her. So I, knowing a bit about her personality and a bit about, you know, she seems like a quirky person, so I...
You didn't contact management.
No, that's not... Aussies don't do that kind of thing. Aussies don't have the confidence to contact management. We do creepier things like... write songs, video them, and put them on YouTube, and then just ask all our followers to tweet it at the artist. So yeah, that was the plan. Initially, I wanted to do a house gig with her. My dream was to have her and her band come do a house gig, but it was logistically impossible. What ended up happening was she saw the video. So I wrote a song, made a video, sent it to her.
And it is called?
It's called Something About Something that people can... No, don't let me say it. But it's, you know, it's whatever, it's charming, and I was like, I did what I needed to do.
And it worked.
And it worked, yeah. It took like 2 days. I remember freaking out. And yeah, but she's phenomenal. So she ended up coming out to Australia with Maroon 5, and I sang with her at her show, which was incredible, in this huge arena. And then we became friends through that experience, and now she sings on my record, and we've worked together a little bit more since then. And yeah.
Nice so job.
Quite, yeah, cheers.
Way to go.
Thanks.
So, screenwriting background.
Yeah.
Obviously music.
Yes.
And you also do like watercolor art, right?
I do.
Like
this
entirely...
is extremely well researched. I'm terrified of your questions.
Like, you've got a whole other artistic avenue.
Yeah.
Do you still keep that up?
I do. I am trying to do it more. I'm trying to... I'm fascinated by this idea. I think that as human beings, we love to categorize things and ourselves, and we try to understand the world by breaking it down and putting up barriers between things. But as a creative, like, it makes sense that creativity wouldn't just be in one stream, I think. Like, clearly, like, for me, I'm sure the through line is storytelling, it's narrative. Like, whatever it was that was having me screenwriting, that has me playing music, that also has me wanting to kind of make fine art, there's obviously a drive to capture narrative and communicate narrative. So I feel like I'm really interested in, like, try not to look at myself as just a musician, just a writer, just an artist, but like, obviously I'm attracted to all those forms of creativity. And I think that they all feed into each other. I think that if you learn how to work with color on a page, inevitably in some way that affects the way that you hear music, the way that you write music, which will then affect the way that you give dialogue to a character in a story that you're telling for a film. Mm. So yeah, I'm really interested in exploring more and more those things. I think if I could do the end of high school all over again, I would probably do a fine art degree.
Yeah.
Because it would be just as useless as everything else I studied now, but I'd have the skills of actually being able to do art.
Well, when you started with music, undoubtedly it was primarily for yourself. But
exactly.
You've gotten to a point now where it's for you, but also for a fan base.
For the people.
With the visual art, is this for you, or do you have plans to share this with people?
Oh, it's just for me.
Because I could see a canvas at your disposal on
the front of every record. Well, funny you say, I mean, I did the artwork for the cover of my album, which felt important for this particular record. I don't know if I'll do that for every single one. It might seem a little bit self-congratulatory. But yeah, I think for me, like, especially with touring now, I'm really interested in documenting everything, like capturing everything. And I used to take photos prolifically.
On your Instagram? Is that what's happening?
You will be on my Instagram. Oh, yeah, I've had the video out. But I don't look at photos as much. So what I'm actually trying to do is keep a journal, I suppose, of my music career using art. Because I'm much more, firstly, it's very meditative to make art. Mm. And then secondly, I'm much more prone to, like, look back through it.
Well, it's been a joy to have you in.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks so much for having me.
Ben Abraham is my guest live today on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record of which we speak is called Sirens, out on Secretly Canadian. You can get information at benabraham.com.au. You've got one more for us, yes?
Yes, this song's called Songbird.
There are places that I remember, where you sang in the night and it turned into day. They're saying you have gone quiet, and they say that you hide your love away. They don't know you the way that I know. Your little vices, they are fencing you in, and all of these others, these girls in their circles, if you could see. Start to sing, you're a songbird, and we ain't seen nothing, we ain't seen nothing, little songbird, don't hide it away. Show your heart to the world and never stop singing. Don't you ever stop singing. One of these days you believe when we say you're a songbird, God made you that way. Time changes things, and it moves like a freight train, and I know the time hasn't always been kind. Yeah, but all of these others, these boys and their circles, circles again. If they could see the fire in your eyes every time that you sing, you're a songbird, and we ain't seen nothing, we ain't seen nothing, little song. Show your heart to the world. Never stop singing. Don't you ever stop singing. One of these days you'll believe. when we say you're a songbird, God made you that way. You're a songbird, made you that way. Little summer, God made you that way. Show us what you're made of. Show us what you're made of. Would you show us what you're made of? Show us what you're made of.
Just beautiful, man.
Thanks, man.
Beautiful song.
Cheers.
Ben Abraham is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio, playing songs from his new record called Sirens. That one out on Secretly Canadian Records. BenAbraham.com.au is the web address. Thanks again for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me.
Open Air continues right after this. We're clear.
Easy.
Thank you very much.